You know, I'm anxious to get Lopez's thoughts on this Aggie Longhorn dust-up from the Sarkisian intro yesterday. Get an Aggie's perspective on it and see what Lopez thinks. If you missed it, they played the Aggie War Hymn as Steve Sarkisian, University of Texas coach, was walking out to do his press conference yesterday. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Seth, we've been going through these ESPN top 10 lists at each position group in the NFL the past week and change, and they finish up tomorrow. Cornerbacks are tomorrow, so I would expect to definitely see Stingley's name in the top 10, and it wouldn't shock me to see Kamari Lassiter's name in the honorable men. It would surprise me if he were top 10, just based on he's a rookie or he's 1 year in. Would not surprise me to see him get honorable mention, and I would be surprised if he didn't get any votes in this exercise of 70 NFL people voting on this thing. The offensive line, they chopped up into interior O-line, which is guards and centers, and tackles. They had in a separate group. So two groups of offensive linemen. The Texans had nobody in the top 10, nobody in honorable mention. They had nobody get a vote in this exercise for their offensive line. And I got to say, right now, that passes the smell test. Now, Laremy Tunsil was on the team last year. He finished seventh among tackles last year. So I'm not surprised, Seth, that not a single NFL person put any of these Texans offensive linemen in their top 10. The hope is that this position group, well, both groups, interior and the tackles, the offensive line as a whole, gels and improves this year. Will they gel and improve to where guys are being named to the Pro Bowl? We'll see. I have my doubts. But I think the hope is they can be a better unit. And if they do, then some of these guys are going to start to pop up on the radar. If you had to pick one Texans offensive lineman that's on the team right now to at least get a vote next year, to at least have somebody in the NFL say, this guy is a top 10 interior guy, or this guy is a top 10 tackle, who would it be?
Okay, I'm torn on this one, because if it were interior offensive lineman, it would be very easy for me to say Titus Howard. I want it to be Titus Howard for three reasons. One, it means that Nick Caley knows what he's doing.
Yep.
Two, it knows that Cole Popovich, the offensive line coach, knows what he's doing. Yep. And three, it would be that Titus Howard has genuinely embraced the leadership role and is leading by example, which has a spillover effect on everybody else.
Yeah.
So, and it does look like Titus has embraced the leadership role now that he's one of the old guys in the room. Now it's a matter of just, you know, do all the right things. He's shown a lot of promise as a guard, but now in fully, if he does end up playing guard, I think this will be the first time he's really embraced it in the offseason, and he can clean up some of the things. There's times where, okay, he does some really good things, but then there's other times where it looks like, okay, this is a tackle who's temporarily playing guard.
Yeah.
So I would like it because I think there's a spillover effect on everybody else. If I had to go just strictly, okay, what helps your team the most?
Yeah, yeah.
It would be if Blake Fisher or Ariante Ursary,
a young
had
tackle,
turned into a top 10 offensive tackle, because then all of a sudden you've got a really young guy still on his rookie contract,
yep,
who's at one of the most important spots on your team at offensive tackle. And if it's Ariante Ursary at left tackle or Blake Fisher at right tackle, that would be great. So between those two, I would still pick Titus Howard, because I think that's if what they're trying to do is establish a different culture in the offensive line room, and Titus Howard can be a part of that,
yeah,
and a leader in that, instead of, you know, maybe wondering if he's one of the guys that needs to be swapped out,
sure,
for culture issues. Yeah, I would be really excited about that.
We have a Texans question on the text page along those lines. Trey Smith's record deal yesterday, with his record deal, if you missed it, Trey Smith of the Chiefs signed for $23 million a year, and the top NFL guards being paid around $18 million plus per season over the last few years. Does it make Titus Howard's deal, which is about $18 million a year, he signed that, yeah, when he was a right tackle, does it make it more acceptable? He's around $18 million a year. In this O-line going forward, he's a guard, correct? And yes, he's going to be a guard at least to start out with. Does Titus Howard's, do you have any sort of feel either way about contractually where they are with him right now, the value in Titus Howard?
I don't, you know, and they tweaked it and gave him some more guaranteed up money up front, but
yeah,
that's not necessarily, it wasn't like he got a pay raise or anything. They restructured it the typical way you do to massage the cap. Yeah, it would. I mean, it was an overpay at the time, you know, given that, and he got it after the 1 year where he'd finally been healthy the whole time. But I don't think he lived up to his contract when he got it at the time. But those as every contract does, it ends up being more affordable over time.
Yeah.
I think that if he can be a competent and productive guard, certainly if he could be a top 10 guard, then I'd feel a lot better about it. But then I think Caserio's also paid for his versatility. And Caserio has always been, I think, way more bullish, like genuinely bullish about Tyus as a guard than the rest of us have been. And that is, this is where the Pro Football Focus grades can get kind of dicey sometimes. There's an effect when Tyus Howard goes down and plays guard that we saw last year in the playoffs, especially and in the last few games of the season, where they became overall a better rushing team and a better run-blocking offensive line just by having his mass and his bulk and his athleticism in there on the interior. Mm-hmm. So there was glitches in pass protection that everybody had across the board, including tight ends and running backs last year. But, I think, as the salaries have escalated now, it makes it feel a lot – that contract could feel like a bargain at the end of the year if Tyus Howard really thrives in the guard role.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about it. I'm fine with it. I don't think it's a great value. I don't think it's a horrible value. I think you got to see how Tyus Howard does at a new position with a new coach, and then I'll give you my assessment of it. All right, this Aggie Longhorn thing with the fight song, the War Hymn, sorry, getting played as Sarkisian walked out for his press conference. You thought it was intentional, Seth. You thought it was somebody...
I thought there was a chance it was intentional.
Okay.
Part of that is fueled by so many Longhorns saying, just flat out convinced.
Yeah.
And apparently, in the Longhorns' minds, there's a long history of harassment by Aggies. Bombarding the hotel with music, fire alarms, all this stuff that sometimes goes on. Well, I don't know if they've ever poisoned a tree allegedly or anything, but yes.
I'm very curious how this will go. Larry and Stafford happens to be a big Longhorn. I'm wondering how he feels about this. Larry, how are you feeling about Sark getting the Aggie War Hymn played underneath him yesterday?
Son, I'm going to side with you that Seth is, I believe, a little bit naive. These are people that have kidnapped each other's mascot. And if you're sitting here thinking, oh, Billy Bob, the red hat-wearing person up in Aggieland, didn't pay somebody $15,000 to play that old stupid fight song that he played when Sark walked out, you are sadly mistaken. I'm not sure if you remember, but the Oklahoma State Cowboys was building a stadium for their football team. And somebody paid some contractors to put OU bricks in their stadium. So these kind of things are not happening by accident. These things, they wanted to try to minimize Sark coming out there because them Aggies didn't do nothing for the 10 years that they had a leap on the Longhorns getting to the SEC, and now they're back to being little brother like they've always going to be. Now, having said that, let's talk football. I need these next 2 weeks to get over. I need this week and a half and the offseason to be over because now I got Mike Francesco longing for the days of George Reeves and his oatmeal in front of a black and white TV looking at Superman flying on a table or something. Then I got Archie Manning signing off his text messages with his name, Archie Manning, to his grandkids as if they don't know he Archie. And then now I'm sitting up here doing the same thing, sending my kids text messages with L on it. Something's going on, and I got to stop this. Son, we need to get football season coming, man, because right now I'm having way too much free time to do projects and stuff that's getting me in trouble. And I'm a firm believer that once football season comes, everybody going to leave me the hell alone in our hall.
Yeah, appreciate you, Larry. Yeah, Larry took on a project. He used YouTube to try to fix something mechanically wrong with his wife's passenger side door on her SUV.
Home repair and everything, YouTube has been a great asset for me, but I tried to fix something electronic once in my car, and oh my God.
Yeah,
that's a different level, man.
It took days.
That's
for
a
Larry.
Different level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, especially if you're doing it out in the heat.
Yes. Yeah, and it was outdoors. Yeah. Now, to be clear, the thing that I thought Seth was naive about was not whether or not that was a purposeful thing that was done to Steve Sarkisian. Yeah. The thing I think Seth is naive about is Sarkisian's complete lack of acknowledgement of the whole thing. Like, I think he just, like, I think he knew what was playing, but he just chose to go right into his little speech there.
Yeah.
You thought that he just didn't hear it because he was so laser focused on giving the speech.
Combination of not hearing it and wouldn't have broken through his concentration because he's only as the Texas coach, he's only played the Aggies once.
That's right.
So it's not I'm not buying that he would have immediately been like, oh, my stars, are they playing the? Is that the war hymn?
That's
which is the Aggies' fight song.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, you bastards. We had multiple people try to correct us that it's not the fight song; it's the war hymn. War hymn is the name of their fight song. Okay, yeah. Am I allowed to say the national anthem?
Right.
It feels like there's no pushback when I say the national anthem.
No.
The Star Spangled Banner
right.
is the title
yep.
of our national anthem.
Thank you.
Just like the war hymn is the title of your fight song.
Right.
Or as I like to call it now, your conflict ditty.
Yes. That's going to stick.
I will never say war hymn again.
Nope.
That is your conflict ditty.
Conflict ditty. We might play it just so we can call it the conflict ditty every day. All right, a case of mistaken identity. How many times have we done what Dabo Swinney did when it comes to names of people? We'll have that. We'll find out what the guy's got going on in the loop. That'll be coming up next.